Amen.
Amen. That's the way you need to be.
Amen.
To have that certainty that all is well.
That's right.
With you and the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
And we thank God for
thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank
Amen.
You,
Lord. For that assurance that he gives by faith in his son. Amen.
Oh, yes.
And we thank God for each and every one of you who have come to worship with us today.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
Yes, we do.
And as we said, we want to just thank God for letting us all be here today.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Thank it's a wonderful you. Thing to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
the place I'd rather be.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
I agree with you there, my brother.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You could be somewhere anywhere on earth, but God has let us come in today.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And at this time, we're going to take just a minute to move up just a little higher in our service.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We'd like to make a presentation today. We had some people who were baptized into God's family on last week.
All right.
Amen. We have one of them present here with us today.
Yes.
So we are going to present. In fact, we have two who had not received their certificates. And we want to take just a minute at this time to present these certificates of baptism. Amen.
All right. Amen.
You know that baptism is that ordinance that one of two ordinances that the Lord left to be observed on earth in all of time. And of course the Lord's Supper being the other. And so we some time ago, in fact, let's put it this way, we had our first wedding ceremony since Sister Hope and I have been here in leadership and ministry here at St. Timothy on yesterday.
Yes.
It was a beautiful ceremony.
Yes, it was.
Amen. That was the very first one that we had a part of here at St. Timothy.
Hallelujah.
And we were blessed to provide that service for the Lord.
Yes.
And when we first started here, we had the privilege to baptize our own deacon, Clarence
yeah.
Perry.
Yeah.
And he was out for a while. And we didn't have opportunity to present him with the certificate of baptism. And so I just noticed that it was still in the journal. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. But we also had Brother Dominic, who is here with us today. And he was baptized on last week. And along with Brother Michael Outlaw, who is not in, he was just married yesterday, so we can excuse him this morning. Amen. We give him some room to enjoy his new bride. Amen. But at this time, it gives me great pleasure to present to Deacon Clarence Perry a certificate of baptism. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for him. And also to Mr. Dominic Shoemaker.
Yes.
Present the certificate of baptism. Amen. Put that right along with your other birth certificate.
Right.
That's what he said, we must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And then you can file that right next to your birth certificate.
That's right.
But Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Yes.
And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee, ye must be born again.
Must be born again.
Amen. So you can log that one down, and somebody asks you, what does it mean? Tell them it means I've been born again.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Born from above.
Amen.
Amen. And so we thank God for that privilege and just that opportunity to share in that experience with you. Amen. So without further delay, we're going to go ahead and get into the word today. Amen. Of course, we do the Lord's Supper routinely. And I'd like to welcome those who are visiting today once again for being here in the sanctuary with us.
Amen.
And we'll give you a minute somewhere in the service to have words if you like, any of you who are here to visit with us today. We are so blessed that you have come into our sanctuary to share the worship and praise of God. And we just thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. We have a special message before we take up another study. We, you know how we do sometimes, like we just completed the book of Romans a couple of months ago now. So the Lord has put it in my spirit to go into some other study, topical things that we need. And so we're going to get into that today. Another one of these, and I'll kind of let the cat out of the bag here on this lesson today. We're going to be talking about some things that I think will benefit all of you.
Amen.
And so we're going to just have a few verses read from the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. This was one of the books written by Jeremiah. It's kind of like Psalms in a way, only because Psalms are basically songs, and there are five books of Psalms that make up the 150 Psalms that we call one book, the Book of Psalms. It actually contains five different books of songs that were sang throughout the history of Judaism. And the Book of Lamentations really kind of almost belongs in that group, because these are songs of lament. Mm-hmm. And they were most likely compiled by the prophet Jeremiah.
Yes.
And they talk about lamentation, which is a cry out of woe and misery for some reason. Amen. And so we're going to look here in Lamentations chapter number 3, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons to read today. And we're going to have a reading from Lamentations 3, verses 15 to 23 from the King James translation. And then just a few verses in the book of Luke in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Luke. What you have, if you have a printed copy of our lesson, there is the NASB translation, which is New American Standard. And I did that for clarity, just to give you a clear reading, a little bit more clear than the King James in this case. And so you may hear a slight variation if you happen to be reading King James from Luke 17, verses 20 to 33. Amen. So we ask that you give attention to the reading of the word at this time.
We have a reading of the word.
Amen.
He had filled me with bitterness. He had made me drunken with wormwood.
Mm-hmm.
He had also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He had covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not.
Mm-hmm.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, yes.
The Lord is my portion, saith the soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Amen. 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 That's Lamentations 3, 15 to 26. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. And now for Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and following.
Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away, and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation, by this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking,
mm-hmm.
they were marrying,
mm-hmm.
They were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And the flood came and destroyed them all.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It would be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop, whose goods are in the house, must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it.
Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use for a topic for our message today, being in on the secret. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Being in on the secret. Amen. There are some things that God reveals to his own people, even when the world isn't paying God no attention.
All right.
And in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, the covenant people were distressed in many ways because God had allowed their enemies to bring destruction even to the house of God. And times were awful, and therefore it was difficult for them to understand where they had gone wrong to have been under such devastation. They looked at, what did we do wrong and how did we end up here?
Wow.
This tragic time caused the writing of the Book of Lamentations and stands for an example of just how far our present culture has tumbled in the throes of God's judgment today.
Wow.
So we want you to listen in here, because the reason it's important is because you and I, who trust God, have received classified information from God. It's not really secret, because God wants everyone to know, but only those who believe will embrace the truth of God. And so therefore, only those who trust and believe are in on the secret.
All right.
It seems like a secret, although God has published his word in all the world.
Amen.
The Bible is the most widely distributed book on the planet. Do you know that?
Yes, it is.
They had to stop counting it because it's always the bestseller.
Right.
In order for anybody else to have a chance to get on the bestseller list. They said, well, we can't just don't count that anymore, because every year more copies of the Bible are sold than any other book in the history of mankind.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Why? Because it's God's word.
Amen.
So New York Times doesn't count it anymore. We just want this eliminate that. We've been, you know, they just don't want to talk about it. Want to suppress the truth.
Yes.
As it says in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because they suppressed the truth of God.
Right.
And they don't tell you that. That's something you may not hear. You probably only heard that here at the church, some of you today.
Because
we don't even think about it anymore. This happened some time back. Because every time you list which book sells the most, the Bible is always on the top.
Always the Bible.
So you wonder, how is the world so whacked if the Bible is so widely published and read by so many? And the reason is that it takes understanding from God to really get an understanding of what God is saying.
Amen.
So that's our business at the church, is to make the word of God plain so that the people of God can understand it.
Yes.
But the thing is, you have to first believe God.
Amen.
In order to understand it. That's why we were talking about the baptism, how important that is to be a believer in God. The baptism is just a public expression of what has already happened in my heart.
That's right.
That I have trusted God. God, I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. God fixed it where it's easy for you to believe in Christ. It should be, because like as we always say here, the calendar is configured around Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that's not true of any other individual on earth. They don't want to talk about that either. That gets just as suppressed as the scripture itself. They want to set that aside. But the fact is, it's 2015 because Jesus Christ, God's son, was born 2015
Amen.
Years ago. And I'm proud of that. I'm going to speak right up. Some other people are proud
Amen.
Of some heinous behavior.
Yes.
But I'm proud of God's son.
Amen.
That he
Yes.
exalted him in the world. So really, he cannot be ignored. Just like you want to ignore the Bible, take it out of the count. They want to ignore Jesus or try to give other things that profess to be a path to God equal standing with God. And really, they don't compare at all. It's just like the books. You have to take Jesus out of the race for anybody else to even get a foot in the door. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But you can't take him out of the race because God put him in the center of your life.
Yes.
And he did that for a good purpose. He wants you to believe him.
Amen.
And when you do, he's going to let you in on the secret.
Yes.
Now, you know, it seems like when people whisper, everybody listens a little more carefully. This is what's going on, you know. We tune in when we hear somebody whisper. What are they saying over there? The room gets quiet, you see, because we want to know what is that thing, you know. And there is some secret information. But the good news is God wants you to know it.
Yes, he does.
And so he wants us to be like, lift up your voice like a trumpet. That's what he said.
Amen.
To the prophets. And preach it loud. They were saying the same back when I was younger. And you say it loud. And they say, I'm black and I'm proud. Or something like that, you know.
Yep.
And it's okay. I mean, be proud of who you are. That's all right. But we're going to say it loud. Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And God has given his son in order for you to be saved.
Yes.
That's the good news. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, God loves you, and he knows that we have issues.
Yes, he does.
He knows that we have difficulty doing what we do in life, and that we have things that draw us on the path of those people who don't believe God, want to suppress the truth and take it out of the center of human life so that they can promote some other things that are not so nice, that are not good, things that God has said will destroy your life.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows we get hung up in that, and he loves us anyway.
That's right. Amen.
That's why somebody was saying the greatest verse in the Bible. I heard somebody on the radio preaching on that. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Most of us know that. Even if we don't know much else about the Bible, we know John 3:16.
Yes,
for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That's right.
So Jesus was on a mission of salvation. He does not want to hurt or destroy any of us or anyone, for all that matters. But he does want you to believe the truth.
Yes.
And so what happened, I'm going to make this kind of in a nutshell if I can here today to get us to the point. In the days of Jeremiah, who wrote these Lamentations, Israel, the covenant people whom he had called out, had been kind of gotten a little comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's happening to the church today. That's the reason I wanted to talk about this today. Even though they had special information from God, God loved them. The whole Bible came through Israel. There's only one Gentile writer in the Bible. Most people may not know this, and that is Luke. Dr. Luke, who we have here on the lesson here today, is the only Gentile who writes anything in the Holy Scripture. Everybody else in the other 38 books were Jewish in their background.
Yes.
And so God used the Jews for a special purpose to give his word to the world. And I think he just brought Dr. Luke in just to show you that I'm opening the door to the Gentiles and the rest of the world so they can also be included. But that was his intention all the way from the beginning, before any Jews ever existed.
Amen.
And that's because he called Abraham, who was a Gentile.
Yes, he was.
Told him, get out of your country. Away from your kindred, out of your father's house. Come into a land that I'll show you. I'll bless you and make your name great.
Yes.
And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him that blesseth you and curse him who curseth you. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God had already promised a blessing to all the families in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that means blessings to the Gentiles was the first thing he said.
Yes.
Before any Jews ever existed. They were not called Jews till three generations past Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, who is called Israel.
Yes.
And he was multiplied into 12 tribes. I'm giving you some nutshell stuff here. If you want to have questions about this, always attend our midweek Bible study. We have time on Wednesday to break down some things and help you get understanding and point you to chapters and verses that we may not have time on Sunday morning to directly address, or any other question or matter that you may have.
Yes.
But in other words, God called out of the Gentiles a people who he promised to bless. Abraham didn't even have any children. No offspring, and he was 75 when God called him.
Yes, he was.
That's nearly an impossible age for childbearing. And his wife was barren, Sarah. But they got out, they believed God, they trusted him, and eventually God gave him the seed who he had promised. That was Isaac, his son.
Yes, amen.
And then Isaac had Jacob, and of course Jacob had 12 sons. They became known as the sons of Israel. And the nation Israel that exists right now today, most famous nation on earth, even though it's the tiniest little bit of real estate, is right in the middle of all the trouble. Have you noticed that today? Why is that? Because God has preserved Israel.
Yes, he has.
You look at Israel, you can put it inside of California multiple times. And how is that little speck of real estate so much trouble when all the nations of the world are in upheaval over little old Israel? And the reason is God has preserved Israel, and he wanted it to be tiny.
Yes.
So that he could manifest his great power when
That's
he
right.
shows you
Amen.
How he preserves Israel through all the big nations, no matter how big they are, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how many armies they come against Israel, when Israel is stable, it sits right there in the powder keg of the Middle East.
Yes.
Because God blessed Israel, but now they've been through a lot of changes. So we're going to cut from the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob up to this time when Jeremiah writes Lamentations. What happened? His people got comfortable with God, knowing God and being the covenant people. They started to act like the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
They started to do the things that the world was doing. They let the world come into their mix rather than being a separated people who
yes.
are happy to be God's people.
Yes.
And you know what? God blesses you when you trust him and you walk in his
yes,
word.
He does.
He'll show you things you've never seen before and protect you from danger seen and unseen.
Amen.
And he can bring you through to, just like he has done Israel, smallest little nation on the earth, most powerful nation on the earth
yes.
in another way, only because of God's promise.
That's right. Amen.
God wants to bless every one of us in this room the same way. He wants you to trust him so that you can walk softly, but you'll be carrying a big stick.
Yes.
And that's God who can strike down anything that gets in your way.
Yes.
You see, but the fact is, he loves you like that. He gave his son. He proved it.
Mother.
It's not some myth or something that you have to dig up out of some book, old dusty book from eons ago.
Right.
You can look at your calendar and find out God gave his son. And that's the reason Jesus is the most famous individual, no matter whether you ever hear that on TV or on the radio or on the internet or not. It's true, the church is preaching the Son of God.
Yes, amen.
Who came, and the calendar is configured around him. You don't have to think the preacher is giving you a false story. Check the calendar. 2015, since Jesus was born. Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because God made him like that so you would not ignore him. And he did it because he loves you. And he wants you to know, no matter what you're going through, I know all about it. I got the solution. In fact, I am the solution.
Yes.
If you bring me into your life, you're going to have comfort and peace.
Oh, yes.
You know, it doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. I think so. I can get a witness here today. You must
yes.
still have some issues and difficulties dealing with the world, but you're going to have a peace of God that passeth
yes,
all understanding
yes,
on the inside. Because, you know, God loves me.
Yes.
He's not against me. So it doesn't make any difference if the whole world is against me. God loves me. He got my back. And I'm not going to fail because he's there. I might get knocked down, but I'm not going to get knocked out.
Awesome.
I'm going to be able to get up and keep on stepping in his word because he loves me. He gave his son for me. And the relationship with God is a thing that's important.
Yes.
It's important that you know he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just say, okay, God is over there and I'm over here. No, he wants to be one with you.
That's right. Amen.
He loves you. I want to be in your life. I want to help you with every decision you have to make.
Yes.
I want to help you with all the trouble you're going through. Anything that's a problem to you is a problem to me.
Yes.
I want to shoulder up with you and show you that I care for you in everything you're dealing with in life. And that I can bring you through. I don't care what the doctor told you. Don't care what the lawyer told you.
Yes.
Don't care what the landlord told you.
Yes.
Don't care what your boss at work
yes.
told you. I'm
yes.
with you to bless
yes.
you and bring you
yes.
through.
Yes.
And he loves you. You see?
Yes, he does.
Truly he does. Look what he did. He gave his son to be crucified on the Roman cross. And he died for all of our sins. That's what the gospel is. The fact that God had to pay the bill that I owe.
Yes.
I think about all the things I have personally done against God and sinned and broken his law. But when the Bible says while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Christ died for us. And he made it a historic fact that the whole world is centered around that fact.
Yes.
The fact that Jesus was born, which is the most important thing that has happened in the history of the world.
Amen.
And so the covenant people, let me get back to my story, but then the covenant people began to get kind of a little, let's call it complacent. That's a good word. That means they weren't doing everything. They didn't have all their energy into their relationship with God. And so they started to fall off. So God allowed the Gentiles to chastise them, to come in and give them a spanking. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and he scourges every son whom he receives. He doesn't want us to do bad stuff. He called us to teach us to do good stuff.
Amen.
You know, and when we do the bad stuff, just like you would your own child, you discipline your child to keep him out of trouble.
That's right.
If you told him, don't go in there messing with that stove, and he keeps messing with the stove, you got to give him a little spanking and let him know you're serious. Don't mess with that stove. Leave it alone.
Amen.
Not that you don't like him. You love him.
You love him.
And I want you to stop that, because you're going to hurt yourself doing that thing you're doing, or running out into the street, or any of those kind of things, you see. And so God gives discipline to those whom he cares for.
Amen.
And no more than you would hurt your child just giving them a spanking. You know, it's going to hurt them a little bit right now, but they're going to be better off later, because they're not going to get in trouble and do that thing I told them they need to leave it alone. And so God chastened his own people. And Jeremiah, some of the people were destroyed entirely. Some of the ones that didn't do right, and they went and gave themselves completely over to the things that the Gentiles were doing around them. But God always preserves a remnant.
Always.
He brings through a remnant. The remnant is not the big majority of them. It's a little piece.
Yes.
And so I like to be a part of that little piece. I want to go through. Yeah, but I can use a little piece in my heart. Just
Amen.
To use that as a metaphor.
Yes.
But Jeremiah writes out, he kind of explains some of the tragedy that he had witnessed with his own eyes. He says, he had filled me with bitterness. He had made me drunken with wormwood. Wormwood is a kind of a word they use for bitter stuff, bitter water, things that they encountered back in those days. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones and have covered me with ashes. He said, I'm seeing destruction and misery all around me. Sounds like he could be describing the hood sometimes,
all
the
right.
way it gets.
Amen.
You know, around us, when we see people shooting people every day, and they think killing somebody is the only solution to a problem, you see. And then there's trouble around, and neighborhoods falling in, and all the kind of stuff we see. He hath removed my soul far off from peace. Sometimes you just can't have peace. I forgot prosperity. I just quit worrying about trying to really prosper, because things look so bad coming in on me, all around me. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. It looked like the Lord has forgotten me. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and it is humbled in me. See, God had to show them something to humble them, so they didn't get haughty and lifted up, so that he could preserve the remnant. This I call to my mind, therefore I have hope, he says, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Yes.
The only reason I'm here today is because of God's mercy.
Yes.
Mercy.
I'm not here because I'm so wonderful or so great.
Yes.
Because I think about the way I used to walk in the world.
All right.
And I know God could have struck me down. He would have been right.
Yes, he would.
So it's only of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not.
Model.
He's still a good father.
Model.
He says they are new every morning. God has fresh mercy for everybody who trusts him every morning. See, he has fresh mercy every day because he's a good God.
Oh, yes, he is.
He doesn't want to chastise us and chasten us. And so notice what he says here. The Lord is my portion, and therefore every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to himself. Somebody wrote that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's a wonderful song. I love to sing it. I'm not going to do it now. Y'all know how that is. I might like to get into that. We're going to leave that alone today. But Great is Thy Faithfulness is an awesome hymn about the faithfulness of God, how he keeps his people no matter what they go through. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. See that? Because I know he will never really fail me, because he's a merciful God.
Never.
And he can bring me through anything I have to deal with. And it says the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Sometimes it looks like he's running slow, but he's really right on time. To the soul that seeketh him, if we continue to seek him, he will continue to bless us.
Yes.
It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. No matter what you see, trust God. He's going to bring you through. That's what the Lamentations are about. Now Jeremiah writes there because he is a part of the remnant. That little bit that was being brought through before God would make the gospel, the good news of his son, come forth, which would happen about 400 years after the time that text was written there in Lamentations. But what I want you to see is I believe today, and we'll be done in just a bit here, that the church is now becoming complacent, kind of like Israel did, and we're kind of doing stuff that might be a problem. Not every part of the church, but a large part of the church is strayed away from the truth. So in the days of Jeremiah, the covenant people had been judged, and the remnant was seeing the aftermath of what God's enemies were allowed to do, even to the covenant people, as a form of God's intention to move his purposes forward in spite of the breach of promise that his own people had chosen to do, rather than being a light in the midst of darkness, because they chose to do the same things that the wicked was doing. See, now, and we don't want to make that mistake. That's why, and then the scripture tells us in the New Testament that everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our learning, for our nurture and our admonition, for us to see how God dealt with Israel, realize he deals with all people the same. You know why? Because he is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
God doesn't think any more of a Jew than he does a Gentile. He doesn't even think any more of a white person than he does a black person.
Amen.
He doesn't think any more of a Chinese person or a Lebanese or any other kind.
Amen.
He made them all. Everybody is on an equal plane with God.
Yeah.
You know, you can't impress God talking about, well, I'm a white man. Well, that won't help you.
That's right.
You better be a saved man.
That's right.
You better be in Christ. You gotta trust in the blood of his son. That's the only thing he's accepting. You being white is not gonna help you. You being black is not gonna make it any worse, or he's not gonna bless you anymore. Only because God is no respecter of persons.
That's right. Amen.
Every man is just a man, or every woman is just a woman in the sight of God. And he sees us all equally, and the only thing he's concerned about is, what have you done with my son?
That's it.
I've given my son, broadcast him in all the world, configured time around him, and I did it to bless you, not for you to be offended.
Amen.
I gave Jesus for you so you know my love for you. I put my hand face up so you can see what I'm doing. Not hiding anything. I'm wide open. See, and I'm telling you all, I love you. Giving my son for you. If you believe in him, I promise that you will not perish.
That's right.
But I'll give you everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
See, an everlasting life is a relationship with God.
Yes, it is.
It's not amount of time. Everybody thinks everlasting life has to do with time. It really doesn't. It has to do with a relationship with God. And I can say I'm enjoying everlasting life right now. Jesus said, this is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
That's right. Amen.
So he says, John 17. You'll see that in John 17, verse 3.
Yes.
So it has to do with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
Once you know you have it, you can say, hey, I got eternal life right now.
Yeah.
I'm walking in eternal life. I live in it every day.
Yeah.
And so that means even when I go to the grave, I don't have anything to worry about.
That's right.
Because it's going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, just like that.
Glory,
nothing to worry about. No fear. No fear of death.
Yes.
You see? And so basically, eternal life is a blessing that you receive when you have a proper relationship with God.
Amen.
There's no more animosity between me and God. There's no more confusion about how am I related to the Most High God.
Yes.
And God ended the confusion. He said, I put my information out into the world for every one of you, and I'm commanding every one of you to believe in my son. Mm-hmm. Believe that I raised him from the dead to show you that death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about even death. That's the biggest problem that we have. It brings an end to everything else, doesn't it?
Right.
Kind of scary to think about death if you're not saved, especially.
Amen.
But if you're saved, you should end that fear, that worry should go away. Because now I know what's happening. Jesus got out of the grave proving that he has power and authority even over death.
Yes.
Because death did not hold him. He was not able to be holding of it, it says in the book of Acts.
Amen.
Chapter 2. So here I want you to see just quickly, because this is really a deep lesson. We may have talked about this for a while.
Yes.
But friendship with the world is enmity against God.
Yes, it is.
Because the world is not going the way of God. The world is going against God. All you do is look at some of the recent decisions that the courts in America, the highest nation on the earth, have made, and you know they're going in the opposite direction of God.
Yes, they are.
It's very easy when you see the kind of things that they approve. The reason they're doing it, we know, because we've been on both sides, those of us who are saved.
Yes, we have.
They're doing it so they can ease the pain of, why am I doing this whacked behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way we can ease the pain is make it legal.
Make it legal.
Okay, let's just make it legal. Prostitution is legal.
Yes.
They say. So we'll just make it legal. Then I don't have to feel bad about it. When I go and solicit a prostitute, y'all may feel bad when I come back from the VD clinic. But at least I don't have to feel bad because it's legal. I went and got a legal hook.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're still going to feel bad because the trouble is going to still come up on you.
Yes,
you
it see? Will.
Or when I go and down, I'm going to go and get some marijuana and smoke it because it's legal.
Yeah.
And when you run into the back of somebody's truck or car or something because you're stoned out of your gourd,
yeah.
You know, you'll find out it's not a good thing. When you get the munchies and gain 50 pounds, you won't. You see what I'm saying? It's still going to have a negative effect
yes,
on you.
Yes, it will.
So just Free. Because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay.
That's right.
You know, and they say gambling is legal. We just going to make gambling legal, then everybody can just go do everything. When you broke and penniless,
all right.
And the gambling folks are fat and rich with all your money and your property,
yeah.
You won't think it's so wonderful anymore. And so we can go on and on with that analogy. Just yeah. Because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay.
All right.
You might
Amen.
Feel better about it. Okay, I gambled away all my mortgage and now they're going to come and foreclose on my house. Well,
yeah.
Okay. That's not a good situation.
That's right.
Because they didn't spend $350 million building a casino so you could get rich.
That's right.
See, so you got people with a lot of money that are using people with less money, taking advantage of you, sucking everything out of you just because it's legal.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. In fact, I know it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You can go on and on with that. Legal doesn't mean it's okay. You see what I mean? And you can end up in the court. The lawyers are getting money from everything and everybody. They want you to be consumed with a bunch of hogwash so I can just take all the money. They're another set of thieves. They're a bunch of legal thieves.
Amen.
In the world. Title Max. You can get your title back. Well, you shouldn't have ever sent your title in there. Let's start with. See what I'm saying? You might get it back, but it'll be 20 years when you get it back. Because you're going to be paying me for 20 years. They don't tell you that part.
Yeah.
And that's legal. Legal thievery. And it goes on every day. And we're all in your TV telling you, come on in, bring us your money. So many words. So just because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay.
That's right. That's right.
And as I told people, just because something's legal, you will never see it in here. This is God's house.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care if they say same-sex marriage is legal. Then I'll tell them, go right down there to the court who's saying it's legal. Tell them to hook you up.
Yeah.
But we do what God said in here. You see, and I'm not against same-sex people. If you're struggling with homosexual sin, you really need to come to church.
That's right.
You really need to get saved so God can help you get free.
Amen.
From that thing. You know? And there are people in the church who are struggling with those things right now. But they're not saying it's okay and it's legal. And we're just going to do it anyway.
Right.
You see? So the fact is, God has medicine to fix whatever the sickness is that you're dealing with.
Yes, he does.
And he wants to fix it, but you have to do it. You have to initiate the process. Once you tell him, I trust your son, he will forgive you of anything, no matter what it
will.
Is.
Yes, he will.
And there are people here who have been set free from all sorts of things sitting all around you, even here.
Amen.
That have been set free from bondage and things that have had your life locked down. The way you get free is trust God.
Yes.
That's it.
Let him cleanse you. Let him break the chains.
Amen.
And he will do it. He'll break the chains. Now let's move to our New Testament here. I want you to get this before time runs out. Luke 17, now this is the time when Jesus appeared to the Pharisees, which are a high religious order of the Jews that existed at the time that he came, which was about 2,000 years ago, as we said. So notice what their line of thinking is. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, when is that kingdom coming, Jesus, they really didn't want to know because they didn't believe he was Messiah.
Yes.
So they're asking him a question and trying to trip him up.
Mm-hmm.
Get him to say something wrong.
Yes.
And he answered them and says, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.
Yes.
You looking for some kind of sign? No. He says, nor will they say, look here, here it is, or look there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to be right with God is in your midst.
Yes.
It's right here in this room.
Yes.
Do you trust Christ?
Model.
Do you believe God raised him from the dead?
Oh,
do you believe the evidence that he put in your life?
Amen.
That 2,015 years ago his son was born. That's the reason why we count time like that.
Amen.
That his book is the best book on earth and it's been the only one that's suppressed. It's still the bestseller even today.
Yes.
It will be in all of time no matter how many years go by.
Amen.
You know, and he's giving you that evidence so you trust his son.
Oh,
so it's in your midst. All you have to do is grab hold of what God said and believe that he raised his son from the dead. And you shall be saved. For they will say to you, Jesus goes on and say, look here, look there. You got people now telling you, well, we got to go to Metagorgi and see the apparition.
Mm-hmm.
No. None of that. We got to go to the Vatican and or go here or go there in order to be right with God. No.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is in your midst.
Yes, it is.
If you don't have a right relationship with God, it's not his fault.
Amen.
It's not his fault. God, he loves you.
Yes,
he'll take you right now.
Yes,
right now.
He wants you in the family of God. He wants you to be saved.
Yes.
He loves you that much. He gave his son, raised him from the dead to take away your fear of death. And just like he was telling them, here it is. I'm in the midst.
Model.
They will say to you, look here, look there. He said, won't be like that at all. For just as lightning when it flashes from one part of the sky to the other, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. When he comes, it's going to be a worldwide cataclysmic
event. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
And every eye will see him, the Bible says.
Yes,
but he must first suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. In other words, Jesus knew he must go to the cross.
Yes.
To pay the debt for your sin and for mine.
Thank you, Lord.
That has happened first. He says to this generation, that was the last generation of Jews. Do you know it was 42 generations, 3 equal sets of 14? When Jesus came, 42 generations.
Amen.
And he said, has it happened by this generation? Now notice this, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Noah is before the covenant people. He went all the way back to before the covenant people had been called.
Yes.
And said the Gentiles basically were judged, except 8 people. In the days of Noah, only 8 people believed God and trusted him. 8 were saved and spared through the flood. Mm-hmm. These were the characteristics of the days of Noah here. It says here, notice this, that in verse number 27, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They went on business as usual. It's legal. Let it roll. We're going to do it. And God said, it's evil. Gotta go. Only those who trust God and do what God says. And God told Noah, build the ark. Only him and his 3 sons and their wives entered into the ark. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was destroyed. It says it was the same in the days of Lot. Mm-hmm. Now that's Abraham's nephew who went with him in Genesis 19. You can read about that. They were eating, they were drinking down in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
They were buying, they were selling. They were planting and they were building. Everything was business as usual. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So the pattern was water and then fire.
Yes.
And it shall be the same, it says here, just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, he said, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. He says, remember Lot's wife.
Yes.
That's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. She looked back after God told him, get out and don't look back.
Yes.
That's the way we ought to be about our past life. Let's just get out and never look back. Don't want to ever go back to anything I did before.
Never. See, never.
And it's not going to be easy. You won't be able to do it without the help of God. But God will make you able to do it.
Yes,
make you
will.
Able to walk away from things you haven't been able to. Whosoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Says in the King James. So we need to be wrapped up in Christ. Because friendship with the world makes us an enemy against God, and the church are those who have been called out of the world to be set apart for God's use in the process of the redemption of the rest of the world. He wants us to be different so we can reach the rest of the people. You know what? God doesn't want anyone to perish. It's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth. How does he do it? He doesn't come and present himself. He has given me and you the privilege to represent him. So we need to be different and living above those kind of things in life. So therefore, we need to be concerned about our own personal sanctification and cleansing while becoming even more deeply engaged with God himself in prayer, in his word, and in participation in his church as we see the day of judgment approaching. Don't you see that things are getting more and more ugly in the world? The world is just trying to prove everything and say it's all legal, and they're really not feeling any better. Suicide hasn't went down, it's going up. It's on the contrary. Our murder and stuff is going up. And so people are just lawless, you see, and they think shooting their way out is okay. I was looking at an article about a man who in our town here somewhere in this area who killed his pregnant wife and therefore killed the baby as well. He got two counts of murder. And why do they think so little of a child in the womb? Because you kill them over there on the corner for a fee.
Yeah.
So we don't think much about that because you got a whole clinic set up to murder babies.
Yep.
And so they don't think much of it. You devalue human life when you do those
That's
kind
right.
of things.
Amen.
So as believers in God, let us plan to draw closer and engage ourselves even more deeply in fellowship with the church. This is the only place you get information like this, is in the church, if the church is preaching the truth.
Amen.
You can go to a church and never hear anything you heard here today. You can hear how wonderful you are and your self-esteem needs to be lifted up and you will never hear about sin.
That's right.
But you know what? You won't be getting better. And the people saying all that, they have the same problems we do.
Yes, they do.
So you need to draw closer to God rather than becoming more distant, knowing that there is a present judgment. What you see right now is judgment. That's why people are doing what they're doing. God has said, just like he did in the days of the Lamentations. Okay, you want to do that? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn you over to your own devices.
Yes.
You're not going to get free because you don't even want to be free. And you're just going to get sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker until you bring judgment on yourself. God isn't even doing it. He just said, you want me to leave you alone? Okay. Leave you alone. Go ahead. Do that. It's not going to benefit you anything. But if you want my help, I can stop it.
Yes.
And I can turn you around and
yes,
make you clean.
Can. Amen.
But I won't do it against your will. If you want to keep doing it, go ahead. So we need to realize that and that there is a present judgment in the world and we want to make sure that we know that even now we want to elevate evangelism. In other words, reach out because God can still save anyone no matter who they are.
Oh yes, he can.
He loves you just like you are. And you can come just as you are. That's how we all came. We came however we were.
Oh, yes.
And he took us in.
Yes, he did.
He adopted us out of the world, made us his children.
Amen.
He wants to do that for you.
Yes.
So if you receive him, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name.
Yes.
Amen. So we want to give an invitation today and give you the opportunity, if you wish to come, and we would be very, very blessed to teach you the word.
Oh,
we'd
yes.
be blessed to baptize you if you have not been baptized and would like to be. And we just want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just before we do that, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you, we praise
yes.
you, we thank you for your word, we thank you for your mercy.
Oh yes.
Thank you for your grace, Lord, and we know you can do anything but fail. And every one of us, oh God, has been a recipient of your mercy. We have not deserved anything. We have not earned anything.
Yes.
But you have blessed us with the free gift of salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we thank you for that because otherwise we would not be able to have fellowship with you. And we know that it is your desire that we would all come to repentance.
Yes.
That we would all come to the knowledge of the truth. That we would be together in fellowship in the church. That we would study your word and pray together and work with one another, Father, to help break loose the things that bind us, oh God. And Father, we thank you for your spirit that is in the room right now. And Father, we thank you for every person who is here today.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you bless every mind,
yes,
every heart, Lord, and that you just help somebody understand that
Please.
You love them just like they are.
Please.
And that you would accept them right now today if they would simply accept the invitation to receive your son. Bless in the room right now, oh God.
Right now, Lord.
We ask that you give the grace to those who need to come right now, Lord,
yes.
that they might come and submit themselves to you, oh God. And we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' righteous name. I'd like to ask everybody to stand at this time. Just stand up on your feet.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
And if you need to come today, we want to give you the opportunity to come have a seat right here on the front row. Amen, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are saved already, we still want to invite you to come if you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church. And we promise that we will disciple you. We'll teach you the word. We will be here for you, be a shoulder for you to lean on if you need help in anything, no matter what it is. And we give you that opportunity right now. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus. May
Savior, you're mine. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus while you have time. Oh, won't you come? Come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time.
Amen, amen. Thank the good Lord for those who have come. Amen. 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 I see we have the newlywed bride in the house. Amen. Thank God for Sister Sam. Amen. 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 We thank God for all of you. Amen. And while Sister Adams is getting their information, just want to say that we have, if you're interested in attending Pier Marquette on next, is that next week or the following week? It is next week. Okay, we want you to sign up today before you leave so we can make arrangements to take care of that. Fernandel, our guy who was handling it, had an issue today and couldn't make it in. So he asked that we would make sure we get you signed up, anybody who'd like to attend that trip with us. Oh, to Grafton is where it is, over on the River Road, the Greek River Road in Grafton. I guess that's Highway 100 or something. Very nice over there. Very interesting location. Amen.
Yes.
And we'll be going there just for fellowship. Amen. We do a lot of that, just to get together and spend time together. That's what fellowship is about. And that way you get to know the people who you worship with, and we can help one another to do whatever it is the Lord has put on our heart to do. Plus, we get to enjoy the splendor of His creation and see things and all that kind of thing.
Amen.
Which is a blessing also.
Oh, yes, it is.
Amen. So we want to invite you, if you're able, if you're free. And if you're not, we have different things at different times that we do. So we want to give you that opportunity. Amen. Right after service, just wait around. We'll take your information. Amen. Are we ready? Okay. Sister McClure.
We have Brother Bob Daniels.
Amen.
Christian Experience.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, who else?
Sister Malia.
Sister
Massey.
Malia Massey.
Yes, she's also from.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And
Sister Crystal McFarland.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'd like to welcome you to St. Timothy. Thank
welcome.
God for you being here. And all rights and privileges will be extended to you.
Yes.
If you'd like to have any words, you may do that at this time, either one of you, if you like. Go ahead.
I
mm-hmm. I think I do remember you, yeah. You look familiar, sure. All right.
Rededication.
Amen. That's all good. We're just happy you're back in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for you.
Yes.
Amen. Any other thing anyone would like to say? We'll just give you that chance. We don't want you to say, we didn't get the same. Okay. All right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
So we're going to ask you, we're going to go ahead and extend to you all the right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
At this time. Amen. Let me have you come stand so the whole church. Oh. Oh, that's fine. We'll definitely pray with you. No question about it. Amen. You can have a stand here. We will give you the right hand of fellowship. We welcome you to our fellowship.
Yes.
Our rights and privileges
are extended
to you. We will make arrangements to pray.
Bless you. Welcome.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a
from